Do you remember the story of Aladdin? It was one of my favorite stories when I was a child, along with Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves and the Voyages of Sinbad, all from the same book, 1001 Nights. I love imagining myself following the characters in their magical adventures. But one thing I especially loved was the fact that the genie granted Aladdin his three wishes. How lucky is that, I thought. So, when much later I heard for the first time the story of our lectionary that you just heard, when God asked a young King Solomon, "For whatever you want me to give you," my reaction was also amazement, and I must say, a bit of envy too. Imagine if God suddenly had appeared to you in your youth, saying, "Ask me what I should give you." How would you have responded? Notice that God demands to know not what you want, but what he should give you. God is insistent that you search your own hearts and your own minds. So, what response would you have given to God? Would you have asked for a long life and riches, which, after all, would be just the human and ordinary responses? Or for what Solomon asked for, an understanding heart to discern between good and evil. When Solomon asks for an understanding heart, he doesn't ask for compassion, but for discernment, as in the ancient world, it was the heart which was considered as the seat of understanding and knowledge. So basically, Solomon asks for wisdom. What an amazing good guy he is, isn't he? Asking for wisdom and not riches. Well, maybe, but I'm not so sure. It feels a bit too good to be true, a bit like he's buttering up to God, trying to ingratiate himself and saying exactly what God wants to hear in order to get what he really wants and what he gets, by the way, at the end, wealth and honor. You might think that I'm much too cynical and not trusting in the good aspirations of human nature, and it might be the case, as after all, Solomon's reign is undeniably the most successful of all the kings, with Israel reaching its greatest height economically and politically during his reign. Besides, four out of the Bible's seven books of wisdom literature are linked with Solomon. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes and the Song of Songs, plus the Wisdom of Solomon, which is in the Apocrypha. However, Solomon's authorship of these books has to be taken with a pinch of salt, as according to most experts, these books all had multiple authors. But more to the point, we cannot ignore that Solomon's later action, such as his violent and manipulative takeover of the throne, his enslavement of many Israelites to build his temple, and his continuing worshipping of foreign gods, all that doesn't sound like the action of a wise person. But what about the very famous episode of the two women claiming one sole baby, who asked King Solomon to decide to whom the baby should be given? You will remember, of course, that Solomon decrees that the baby should be cut in two in order to please both. Is that really wise or simply clever and cunning? It was certainly a big gamble which could have gone terribly wrong, as the risk taken was anything but wise, in my opinion. What would Solomon have done if the real mother, crushed by grief and silenced by pain, had not cried out? So, like most of us, Solomon is not a one-dimensional character, but a complex one, and our judgment of him should not be black or white, wise or not wise. Why? Because wisdom, or being wise, doesn't mean being perfect. And even the real wise guys do not do everything perfectly all the time. So wisdom is not about perfection. And we know that most people are a mix of good and bad motives and intentions. The less than perfect side of King Solomon's reign is therefore a good reminder that the leaders in the Bible, but also our leaders in our present 21st century, are a mix of complex motives. The Bible deals with real people living in a real world, and it doesn't gloss over the failures of its heroes and doesn't make them super saints, or no. In fact, it is more often than not in the messiness of life that God acts. It is God who approaches Solomon regardless of his failures and frailties as a human being. What this suggests to us is that God's grace breaks into the mist of everyday realities of life and of politics that are by no means straightforward or uncomplicated. In fact, it's easier to define what wisdom is not than what it is. So if wisdom is not about perfection, it is also not about cognitive development or education or knowledge, even if wise decisions are surely influenced by the knowledge we have or do not have. There is a funny definition which says, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Joking apart, it seems to me that wisdom has to integrate a good dose of morality, which is precisely what Solomon asks for, discerning between right and wrong. And this can be applied to both private life and public life. And talking of public life, our Prime Minister and our Chancellor of the Exchequer probably do not start their day with Solomon's prayer for wisdom, but in this time of pandemic and exceptional crisis, they certainly had momentous moral choices to make. Every day, they had to decide, in order to save lives, how far they should go in imposing a clampdown on businesses, at the cost of driving many of them bankrupt, rendering swathes of the population unemployed, building up a mountain of debt for the future, and plunging the economy into the worst recession since the 30s. As we very well know, they decided that whatever battering the economy was going to take, life was infinitely more precious, and saving as many of them as possible took precedence over all else. That was the stark choice between right and wrong that was offered to our leaders. In the ancient world, where life was cheap, their decision would probably have been quite different. Now, to conclude this very brief exploration of wisdom, there is a question I want to put to you. Do you think we can acquire wisdom if we work at it, or is it innate? According to the Roman philosopher Seneca, the man who seeks wisdom is wise man, but the one who thinks he has found it is a fool. And the Bible seems to agree with that aphorism, as from what we heard today, wisdom seems to be a gift. In fact, in the biblical tradition, wisdom and discernment were always gifts from God, not human achievement. Consequently, according to the verse which immediately follows our lectionary passage, verse 14, wisdom is achieved by, and I quote, listening for God, following God's direction, and walking in his ways. This is what Proverbs 9:1 famously says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God doesn't mean being afraid of God. It means to respect and revere God. It is that fear of God that will hopefully give us all the skills to live harmoniously with others by applying moral principles experience and knowledge. And this is what the great theologian, Walter Brueggemann, expresses when he says, and I think it's one of the best definitions I ever heard, wisdom is a distinctive sense of how life is to be lived well, safely, responsibly, and happily in joyous communion with God. Amen to that.